This episode of the podcast from Heck was brought to you in part by Suavecito Pomade. Get it, hombre. Hey guys, I hope you're all rocking and rolling today. Our guest for this episode of the podcast from Heck is Nuno Moreira. We talk about his book, State of Mind. He is a photographer from Portugal that is currently based in Japan. Fascinating guy. We talk about a lot of stuff, so stick around, listen to the episode, and maybe you'll have more fun than you may think. All right, guys, see you soon. Coming to you all the way from the wasteland. New York City, you damn right. You're listening to the podcast from Heck. Today I have a very special guest, all the way from Japan via Portugal, Nuno Moreira, author of State of Mind, a photography book that came out in 2013, which actually is probably one of my favorite books that has come out in the past year as far as photography goes. How you doing, Nuno?
Hi, Richard. I'm very good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey,
what about you?
My pleasure. I'm doing all right. So what's it? You're in Japan right now. Where in Japan are you?
Yeah, I'm in Tokyo. It's 10 a.m. here. I'm in central Tokyo, so it's really in the middle of the milestorm.
Oh, wow. How's the weather there?
Actually, it's getting a bit sunny today. Spring is announcing itself, so we're coming out of snow season, actually, which is pretty rare, I heard, here in Japan. So it's getting a bit better days now.
That's pretty cool. How long have you lived in Tokyo?
I'm here for the last 1 year and a half, more or less. Yeah, that's it. I moved from Portugal, from Lisbon to Tokyo around September, more or less. It's been a very active year. This enabled me to actually just focus more on projects I had pending to do, and one of them was doing the edition of this book, State of Mind. So that was actually one of the first projects I started working when I arrived here. And so I started basically by assembling lots of pictures from a big archive I had, and I came to the conclusion that I had enough material to do the book, actually more than enough, which was difficult. And it took me about 1 year to do the editing and the selection for the book you might have in your hands.
I actually do have it in my hands right now. I think I was lucky enough to get a copy because only 500 were made, right?
Yeah, and they're going away pretty fast, I have to say.
Yeah, that's always good. Were you approached to do this book, or did you just have something and you pitched it to a company? What was the story behind that?
It was actually a personal project, so I just felt that this was the time I had to do a monography and just gather material to do a photo book of myself. With some of my work, I didn't know exactly what would be the final result. You know, I just knew this was the right time, and also many factors, more personal reasons. But I knew this was the time to do it, and it was a completely self-published project. So I did it by myself. I tried to approach some publishers first, but I came to realize it was better to do it by myself. And nowadays we or anybody actually can just have this independent way of working and actually controlling everything, and still it's possible to deliver a quite quality object, you know, to a certain kind of audience. And what the publishers interested in publishing the book, some publishers, I got a good feedback and they wanted to do it. But what they were basically offering me, I could do by myself. So the investment was lower if I would do it by myself than actually doing with a real publisher. And I think this is actually a very interesting topic nowadays, not only for books, but also for music and cinema and everything. It's a time maybe when artists have this big window of opportunities, and maybe they have more work to do, but they can control everything and actually don't have any boundaries.
I agree with you completely on that. I think, you know, there's a certain beauty that lies within doing it yourself, you know, the whole DIY mentality of being an artist and then saying, you know what, I have enough material to make something solid and I'm going to do it exactly the way I want. You know, for people listening, it's a really, State of Mind is a really nice book. You know, it's very well laid out. I'm very big on, you know, how books are laid out, especially if it's a photography book, you know, like, and the way you laid it out with the pictures on, mainly on a white background, or the pictures taking up kind of, like, it has like a widescreen effect with the pictures that take up the whole frame on the page, as it were. And, you know, the paper stock is excellent, the cover is excellent, and, you know, you really can't beat it, especially, you know, you have great reviews already on the Inside Flap from, like, one from Gary Hustwit, who directed Helvetica.
Right.
Just to name a few of what you have there. So it's a really cool book, and it's awesome that somebody just put that out on their own, you know. How has, apart from, you know, the initial feedback, how has the book been received among the photography community so far?
Oh, it's been received really, really well. Actually, it's astonishing. You know, firstly with myself, I knew I had a good work, and I wouldn't do the book if I was not 100% sure it was a solid work. You know, I couldn't live with this idea that I would do a book and put it out, this physical object that. You know, it's not something digitally you can delete. So I wouldn't really go into this adventure if I didn't know it was a solid thing to do. Unfortunately, I've been receiving that really good feedback, and from our artistic community in general. So people, mainly photographers, are the people who I end up talking with more, but also like just designers and painters also, or film directors, as you mentioned, which is interesting because I suppose it's ambiguous enough to get people interested in talking about it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting take on something that you see every day, and the fact that you've traveled to so many different places capturing the, I don't want to say the same thing, but capturing the same, like the book is called State of Mind for a reason. You know, you capture that among the populace of many different cities. Now, how did you develop that style, or how did you stumble on that style of just, you know, capturing people who to, you know, to like an observer, it would seem like they're zoning out or just lost in thought?
So, Richard, that's one of the greatest things, actually. I would say that's the greatest thing to me about actually doing and releasing this book. It's coming to the realization that I actually had a language of taking photographs and using photography, because I was not aware of it prior to actually editing the book. So what happened was I was not aware during like the making of all these pictures. It encapsulates maybe like 5 years of traveling, but I have to say that like three or four of those out of those years I was just normally regularly like traveling and taking photographs and working and seeing things and going to exhibitions. And what happened was when I started just organizing all that information, all that film, I looked at all the images and I saw that there was this singular way of looking at things and into people, and that was very inspiring, and that was very interesting to realize. And I was not aware I was doing that. I was not aware I was taking pictures of people when they are alone or when they are just thinking in moments where they are in hesitation or in crisis or in transition to something happening afterwards. So it was It was gigantic. So the last travels I did, more around Asian countries, I was already working on the book, or at least I was working on the series. And since I was aware of it, of course, I could use it in a better way, and the pictures came out even more interesting or refined. And nowadays, it's a great tool because I know what I can do and what I really want to explore more and more deeply. So the starting point for the next project is just what I started doing with this book, and it's going inside even more, insight into not the thoughts but the actions and what happens in these moments of disconnection, or when you are totally absent of time and you're in your inner world. And I find that quite interesting. I was just doing it by instinct, but now I can do it by instinct and also adding something on top of it. So that's the biggest thing actually for me about doing this book. It's coming to this realization of a language.
It's a fascinating way to phrase that. From an outside observer, it seems like, if you look at these pictures, it looks as if it's almost like a ghost taking them. The other thing about that is, it tells a story not only of the subject but of the photographer as well. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like I get the feel from these photos that you stumbled upon a scene, let's say, and subconsciously maybe have made a complete story about the subject in front of you and
Right.
took a picture and just captured that one moment within the story that you created that's not on film, that could be in your head.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Richard. But because I'm an observer, so I like to observe people. And I'm not talking about a voyeur or a stalker or something like that. I like to observe things. I like to sit in like in a coffee place or something, and just look at people. And of course, I'm also a social person, but I really like observing behaviors in people and seeing their mannerisms and the way they behave and how they talk to each other. And yeah, I think I'm a very imaginative person because I truly create scenarios of how is that person's life, and I'm of course I'm very drawn to specific types of people, and those are the ones that maybe come out in a photo. Sometimes I happen to meet those persons, or they're actually people I know, and sometimes it's completely strangers. And that's what fascinates me. It's this idea of what are they thinking? How is their lives? Why are they in such a deep state, as sometimes they are? What are they deciding, or what's going on? And it's something that puts me in perspective. So, of course, I'm also doing the same thing because probably when I'm doing that, I'm also alone and thinking. So this is just like a mirror kind of thing. And it's an interesting process, definitely. And it's definitely connected with the idea of traveling. When I do travel, I'm alone, and I'm taking that time to actually reposition myself in terms of what to do next, and think about kind of a status of how is my life in that present moment. So I think I use what I see and what's around me as a way of getting to terms with myself as well.
That's a great perspective. Have you ever come to New York?
Oh, not yet. I'm thinking about it all the time.
Listen, you should if you want some good people watching, come to Manhattan and just sit in a park all day. I guarantee you'll have enough material for about four books at the end of the day. It's like the biggest melting pot of just. Once you get here, you'll see.
I should go for some time to New York. Actually, probably after this project, I'll be working in a. I'm thinking about working in a more controlled environment, and probably renting a space where I can work with models or with people following this idea, about what is it when you zone out, when you stop everything, when you shut everything down, and kind of strip yourself of things around you. How do you behave physically, and what comes to your mind? So it's more of a theatrical kind of play, but I'm interested in going in that direction with photography next. So definitely I'm going off the streets for the next project.
Very cool. All right, we're talking with Nuno Moreira about his book State of Mind. Now, Nuno, let me ask you, what technique as far as camera do you use? Are you film, digital? Do you shoot color and then desaturate? Do you shoot monochrome? Walk me through your process.
I pretty much use anything available. That's the truth. I'm not a camera person, so I do have a few cameras, but I work with whatever I have available at the moment. I mostly shoot, and that's like 80% of the time or 90% of the time. Or for the last 3 years, maybe I only shoot black and white film. And because actually that's the way I'm seeing things. So when I feel like taking a picture, I'm already thinking in black and white and kind of thinking how I would like the shot to be. So that's just because it's easier for me. But it doesn't mean I don't like using digital or color film or whatever I have available. So 80% maybe of the photos in the State of Mind book are taken with film and black and white. But there's also a few other mediums I used. So I just use anything I have available, actually.
That's awesome. That's fascinating. I've talked to so many people and so many photographers who are just so strict on what they use and how they use it, and there's guys who hate film, and there's guys who love film, and there's guys who only do digital, and there's
I have to be honest, it seems like a very silly kind of talk, because it's just the medium is there for to serve you, it's like technology or anything. We're talking now via computer, but the computer is here to serve me, I don't have to sit in and just like facing a screen to talk with you. I can be doing something else. So this idea of being very fundamentalist about the things you use to get what you want, it's not that. I think it's first having like, what do you want to do? If you know what you want to do, then what you use is just a way to get there. At least this is how I feel about things.
Yeah, I mean, it's the in more often than not, in many cases, it's the art that moves the gear forward and not the other way around. It doesn't matter what kind of a painter could paint with the worst paint set on planet Earth.
It's not a commodity. It's a necessity, and I totally subscribe to that. I do it to answer. I take photos, or I do collage pieces, for instance. I do a lot of photo montage and collage, and all these things I do it because it's part of my life. It's like reading, eating. I do it to look for answers and to feel more at peace with myself. This sounds strange, but it is. It's actually it's embedded in things I'm thinking about in the moment. So I just get absorbed by doing something else, by taking photos or designing something, and that comes out through the work, I think.
It does. I mean, going from your biography, like you're an all-around designer, and like one thing I feel that would maybe blow people away is that when they find out maybe how young you are, you were born in 1982 and pretty much have had a career since the early 2000s, right?
Yeah, it's true. Well, what can I say? Maybe I have no idea, man. I feel time is very limited. That's truly what I feel. So when I wake up in every morning, I feel I should try the best I can do, and that's the commitment I have with myself and not with others. There's nothing I wish to do to please anyone. It's just, yeah, I want to go to bed and I want to feel like I've done something productive productive during that day, and that something I can continue in the next day. And about the thing, like doing design, and that's where I get money from, basically, to live. So actually, the art direction and other things I've been doing through the years, that helps me quite a lot, because it helps me not being against a wall of obligations, you know. So if I would be just doing photography, probably I would be doing really shitty photography.
Well, one thing's for sure, Nuno is definitely not a shitty photographer. It was a real pleasure talking to him. He was a really cool guy. We talked a little bit about Kubrick, what our favorite Kubrick movies were. I think we both agreed on The Shining is probably our favorite Kubrick flicks. And, you know, if you haven't seen The Shining, well, you're probably living under a rock. Anyway, you can check out some of Nuno's work at nmdesign.org. He is based in Japan for now. And you can check out the book, State of Mind. It was limited to 500 copies. I think you may be able to snag one, or if he's doing a second print, you can probably grab one of those too. I appreciate you guys tuning in, and I hope to see you next time on the podcast from Heck. Hit it, guys.
Take it!
the podcast from Heck was filmed before a live studio audience.